Hello, Love Letters podcast listeners. This is Christina, or KB as you may have heard me refer to in previous episodes. I'm the producer of the Love Letters Life and Other Conversations podcast, and I'm happy to introduce this week's episode to you. Jane and Wendy are using a song called Let It All Go by the artists Birdie and Rhodes. It's a beautiful song, and we invite you to go and find it wherever you listen to music, iTunes, Spotify, or whatever platform you choose. Have a listen, come back, and join the conversation.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Jane.
Welcome to Love Letters, Life, and Other Conversations. Fill your cup and make it. I love that song, Wendy.
Tell me when you first discovered this artist and why you've decided to choose this song for our conversation, please.
Okay, I think I first heard Birdie, but probably didn't know that her name was Birdie or anything about her, when she first did Skinny Love, which I think was when she was about 14. She did a cover of Skinny Love. I just thought, what a beautiful voice. Her mum is a concert pianist.
Oh, wow.
He taught her to play the piano, and then she's just got this magnificent voice of an angel as well. She comes from a very, very musical family. And she does quite a lot of covers, but she also does a lot of original stuff as well. And I just think that I started listening to her probably towards the end of last year. You know, she was born in 1996, which makes her how old?
Oh, gosh, 10.
Hold on. I've got one that was born in 95, so she's a year younger than my Maddie, which makes her 25. She did so she won the music competition Open Mic UK at the age of 12, and her debut single was a cover version of Skinny Love. And she did that when she was, I think, about 13 or 14. So, and her fourth album came out, Young Heart, on the 30th of April this year. So why did I send it to you and why do I love it so much? Well, I think it's the ultimate love letter. I've been sleepless at night because I don't know how you feel, right? I've been waiting on you just to say something real. I mean, we've all been there, right?
Yes, we have.
There's a light on the road, and I think you know morning has come and I have to go. I don't know why. I don't know why we need to break so hard. I don't know why. I don't know why we need to break so hard. But if you're strong enough to let it in, this is the line I love. There's lines I absolutely adore. But if you're strong enough to let it, but if we're strong enough to let it in, we're strong enough to let it go. So I love that whole, if we're brave enough to tell each other that we love each other, or I'm brave enough to tell you that I love you and live with that, then if it's not reciprocal or it's not working out, then I was brave enough to actually say it. Then I have got the strength to walk away when I need to. That's what I sort of take from this song.
Gosh, it's all so good. And I love that she's 25 years old and she already gets it. It took me twice that long.
No, I don't think I've got it yet.
Work in progress, all of us. But I love that, you know, I don't know if it's generational. I don't know if it's just what family you ended up in, but one of the things that was kind of a mantra in the house that my mom grew up in was, what will people think? So she grew up doing things that went through the filter of other people's opinion before it even reached how she felt about something.
Well, I mean, I grew up in that house too. I'm sure we both did to an extent.
Sure.
Because I was always concerned about what people thought. I can say that at 57 years of age, Wendy, that I don't care what people think anymore.
I'm with you.
I don't think you do either. I was talking about you on Thursday night at Thanksgiving in Paris.
Oh, well, thank you. And
I would love to share with you what we were talking about, because and you might be able to tell me, I'm having trouble working out what the canon of the Cathedral of Paris's role would be. The canon. What is a canon? Canon of a cathedral. Canon is a member of the chapter headed by a dean, which is responsible for administering a cathedral or certain other churches that are styled collegiate churches. The dean and chapter are the formal body which has legal responsibility for the cathedral and for electing the bishop. So it's a member of the, yeah. She said to me, she said, I have never been ordained. Okay. I have had any formal instruction in theology. But, I mean, I just hit it off with this woman. She's about 4 foot thing. I said, Mary, I love you, because you're even shorter than I am. We were standing in the kitchen. She looked at me over, we were preparing the Brussels sprouts and she was doing the sweet potato. Yeah. And we were chatting away in the kitchen, you know, on Thursday afternoon, cooking together. And she just turned around to me and she said, Jane Webster, who are you? Who are you really?
Oh, I love her.
I know. And I just put my hands over my face and I said, oh my gosh, Mary, you're reading The Untethered Soul, aren't you? And she looked at me and she said, stop it. She said, I love that book. And I said, I love that book too. And Laurel must have told you, or you must have seen it on the way in. I said, I didn't see it on the way in. I know that you are quoting chapter 3 of Who Are You from The Untethered Soul.
Gorgeous.
And so we got into this conversation and then she dragged me into the living room and she sat me on the couch and she said, I have to recite a poem to you, which perhaps we could do as our next love letter.
Yes, yes. It's
incredible. But there's this part in the poem and it talks about joy and how we all must accept joy. And I said, stop, stop. And I said, my friend Wendy says,
I am only available for what delights me.
Exactly. And the word delight was actually the word, not joy. There was joy in there as well. There was joy, there was delight, and there was pleasure. And they said, life doesn't absolute, this in this poem, it basically said, life does not absolutely require pleasure, but it does require delight.
Gorgeous.
And it was just one of those, you know, one of those aha moments. But I think this song by Birdie sort of had this impact on me for that reason. The fact that if we can be brave enough to speak our truth, and you know, sometimes that's incredibly hard and it takes a lot of guts. When things go wrong, we should be able to be brave enough and we should have the strength to go. We should be able to let go and get out. We should have that strength, because if we had the strength to go in the beginning, then we should be able to get out as well. It might be a different door that we have to go out and it might be a different conversation, but it requires the same strength, I believe.
And I feel like that strength is so rooted in self-love,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. which is explored more through self-awareness and just identifying what is important to you,
yes.
and what you are available for. Like, I am only available for what delights me, but mm-hmm. also what you are not available for. I am unavailable for XYZ. And when you know those things, when you're faced with circumstances and conversations and relationships, you can act out of this space that has become your habit to take care of you. It's not selfish. It's self-preservation. And you're modeling maturity and growth and beauty and love to so many people.
I love what you said about habits and how it becomes a habit. In I Want More the Next 30 Years, you know, the little 6-week course I do.
Yes.
One of the things that we do in, I think it's week two or week three, is we all tell each other a new micro habit that we have formed. Have we talked about this before, or did we just talk about it when you were here at Bosque?
I think we just spoke about it at Bosque.
Their research shows that if we take a small little habit that we want to become a new habit, something that we would like to become a habit, we attach it to something that is already ingrained. So, for instance, my micro habit when I did this the very first time, and it's become what I do about 11 times a day, I've worked out because I counted it a few weeks ago. I attach this new habit to washing my hands when I go to the bathroom.
Oh.
And now ask me what the micro habit is.
Please tell. Do tell.
Micro habit, as I'm washing my hands when I go to the bathroom, is to look in the mirror and check in with myself. How is your purpose going today, Jane? What was your purpose when you got up this morning? What did you want to achieve? How did you decide you wanted to feel? How's that going? And if something bumped into you on the road of happiness, for instance, how did you deal with that? And I have little conversations with myself. I mean, if there was a camera in there, people would think I'm absolutely mad. But I've got to tell you, Wendy, I love this new habit. I love it.
Good. I'm going to borrow that habit for myself. It's so good. And it's so good to look at your face while you are asking yourself these questions. Mm-hmm. I was reading a book where the woman was talking about just the things that we say to ourselves and how they can be unkind, and, you know, you can be mad that your pants don't fit, or that, you know, you're lazy or whatever. And what the woman suggested was changing that pronoun to her or she, and personifying your own body. Because when you say, like, when you say something, she's so fat, that sounds terrible. And it makes you actually hear it the way your body is hearing it. And I just found and that
probably a good thing for that inner voice to hear that. Mm-hmm. Because that inner voice is just the child in us, isn't it?
Right. Absolutely. And I would never say that to her.
No, exactly. Exactly. And it's funny that you have just said that, because the other line that I love in this song by Birdie is, who says truth is beauty after all? And who says love should break us when we fall? Well, it often, but it shouldn't be that we're irrevocably broken, you know? But I think that whole looking in the mirror is a form of truth. It's not always a beautiful look.
Right.
You know, I remember it would have been 30 odd years ago. Oh, what's his name? Tony Robbins.
Yes.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
I had his big thick book called Awaken the Giant Within. And in the very first chapter, he talks about waking up with purpose, with intent. So decide how you want to be each day when you wake up. But he said the next thing you should do is go and look in the mirror and smile, because he said people don't use the hundreds and hundreds of muscles that are in their face, and that we have to train ourselves to smile. So I have always done that. For the last 30 years, I've done that because I just think he's a genius. Maybe subconsciously I have been linking that whole who says truth is beauty after all and who says love should break us when we fall to that first lesson by Anthony Robbins all those years ago.
Yes. I love the whole gift of this song. Mm. And it's essentially, you know, who says it has to be this way? Who says, because I originally said yes, that my yeah. yes is always. Who says that, you know, even when she says there's still a fire in her heart.
Well, he says.
Oh, he says that, but I'm not
still
burning
a fire in my heart. Yes, my darling. He still calls her my darling. And I love that because just because the fire is no longer burning for her doesn't mean that he doesn't still love her. And I think he shows that when he says, my darling. But they're both worked out that it's gone and neither of them are prepared to just live with beige.
Right. And choosing, oh my gosh. I mean, it's just so, it's just not practiced to choose yourself. We hear all the time of people that stay in marriages until their children, you know, leave the house and go to college and then they divorce or something, as if modeling being stuck and unhappy and angry and fighting is better than modeling how to take care of yourself. It's just, it's so fascinating to me when people are able to change the way that they think and they can own it. And society does not always welcome that or agree, but because it's become their habit to choose themselves, it doesn't really matter what everybody else thinks.
No,
and that's a really beautiful place to be.
Exactly. And I think you started to bring it up before, but I probably, you know, cut in on you because I'm terrible at doing that.
We just have so much to say and so much time to make up for before we weren't friends. So
yeah, that's right. You started to talk about this generation and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what you were really alluding to was that this generation of young people are far more fluid and flexible in the way they think about love. They can go in and out and have no guilt about it. Well, I'm sure they still do have guilt, but they have a fluidity that we just did never have. And I'm not really talking about, you know, sexual fluidity here, although they do have that as well. I'm talking about their ability to look at something, say, you know what, that's really not working for me. And have a very raw and honest conversation about it.
Right. And even I feel like there are quantum leaps in the things, you know, just in the past 5 years, the things that we would have never even spoken of. And now it's celebrated and it's great. It just is like, it was taking a generation each time we needed to make a leap. And now it's just happening so fast.
Mm, exactly. And this whole, you know, even the opening lines, Wendy, I've been sleepless at night. Well, I remember being sleepless at night. I remember being sleepless at night every time I went out with a new boy because I didn't know how he felt. That's the second line, because I don't know how you feel. I've been waiting on you. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say something real. I mean, do you remember being with your girlfriends and saying to your girlfriend, oh my gosh, he told me that he loved me?
Yes.
Right.
I do.
And then everyone would squeal.
Yes.
But there was no way known that I would ever have instigated such a conversation. I would always wait for the braver person to be the bravest.
That's so interesting.
And luckily for me, I always seem to have boyfriends that instigated that sort of conversation. Well, I mean, some didn't. Some didn't say anything. But, you know, the ones that actually said that they loved me, they instigated it. Imagine if you had two. Here's a question for you, Wendy. What would happen if there were two non-instigators?
Oof, right. Well, if they, once they finally got together, they would stay together.
How do you say if one can't, well, I guess one of them would have to get brave enough to say it to the other one, really, wouldn't
it? And then if they ever didn't feel that way anymore, they would never break up.
Yeah. Yes.
It's so, I am such a proponent of using your words. If it's painful, okay, let's just get it out and work through it and get it over with and move on. Yes. And not knowing is excruciating.
Excruciating. And who says truth is beauty after all? Truth can be really ugly.
Yes,
it can be messy, really murky, really hard. And who says that love should break us when we fall? Well, we all know it does, but it doesn't have to be forever.
Right.
Better off being truthful, it all being ugly and murky and having no regrets.
Absolutely. An unlived life, I'm not available for that.
I know you're not, my friend, and I treasure that in you, which is why I'm loving having these conversations with you.
As am I.
From today's love letter.
Making a habit of saying yes to yourself it's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. And I love the big lesson behind this song, this love letter. And that's, if we're strong enough to get into it, wade into murky waters, then we also have the strength, no matter how hard or how horrific it feels, to wade out of the murky waters to safe land and keep going.
We owe it to ourselves and we owe it to everyone that's watching.
Yes, we do. We do. Particularly when we've got little people that we are a role model to, or young adults that we're a role model to. That
like they this see. Young adult that's a role model to me, 25 years old, already knowing all the things. Birdie is amazing.
I know, isn't she incredible? I love her. Oh my gosh. I would love to meet this kid. I have so many questions for her because her songs just speak to me, which anyone that watches my Instagram knows that. It's like, oh my gosh, when is Jane going to get off Birdie?
Nobody thinks that. And even if they do, we don't care what they think. We care what you think.
No, we don't. We don't. Well, I loved today's conversation, Wendy.
So did I. And
I look forward to next week's conversation with you and the next love letter.
Same. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
You too, Wendy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We have loved this conversation and sharing this love letter with you, and we would like to invite you to send us your love letters. Visit the link in the show notes to send us your letters and to join our email list. See you next week.